Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you live from the English to Africa service of The Voice of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Peter Clotty in Washington, D.C.
Yes, we are completely shocked, and it's a feeling of complete unbelief, because we cannot just fathom why the president did not address one of the demands of the protesters. The president couldn't even say, since there is already fuel subsidy, we're already paying almost about ₦1 trillion.
Nigerian protests to continue despite appeal by President Bola Tinubu.
We were asking the general public, those who qualify to contest as president or maybe a parliamentary candidate, to pick their nomination forms.
The Ghanaian Electoral Commission opens nomination for presidential and parliamentary candidates for the coming December 7 general election.
Malawi's economy has fallen, and people are suffering a lot, especially these small-scale business people. So why are they punishing them? We feel that they have done this at the wrong time.
And a Malawian activist calls for a nationwide protest over economic challenges facing the country. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. Organizers of the nationwide protests in Nigeria say President Bola Tinubu did not address their core demands in a speech to the nation earlier today.
My dear Nigerians, especially our youths, I have heard you loud and clear. I understand the pain and the frustration that drive this protest, and I want to assure you that our government is committed to listening and addressing the concerns of our citizens. But we must not let violence and destruction tear our nation apart. Just over a year ago, our dear country, Nigeria, reached a point where we couldn't afford to continue the use of temporary solutions to solve long-term problems for the sake now and generations. I therefore took the painful yet necessary exchange system. These decisions I made were necessary if we must reverse the decades of economic mismanagement that didn't serve us well. Yes, I agree, the buck stops on my table, but I can assure you that I am focused fully on delivering the governance to the people. In conclusion, security operatives should continue to maintain peace, law, and order in our country, following the necessary Convention on Human Rights, to which Nigeria is a signatory. The safety and security of all Nigerians are paramount.
The organizers are working on plans to continue the demonstrations on Monday, saying the 10-day protests will continue as planned. In a speech, President Tinubu said his government will address concerns of the protesters, this after calling for dialogue and the suspension of the End Bad Governance protests. The demands of the protesters include restoring petrol subsidies, addressing unemployment and food shortages, and ending excessive government expenditures. There have been reports in Nigerian and international news media that more than a dozen people have died in protest-related violence since they began on Thursday. At least one police officer is among the dead, the government has said. Attorney Deji Adeyanju is one of the lawyers providing legal assistance to the protesters. He is also the convener of the group called Concerned Nigeria for the Protection of Human Rights and Rule of Law. He tells me that the president did not give details about how he plans to address the demands of the protesters.
Yes, we are completely shocked, and it's a feeling of complete unbelief, because we cannot just fathom why the president did not address even one of the demands of the protesters. The president couldn't even say, since there is already fuel subsidy, we're already paying almost about ₦1 trillion for fuel subsidy. Because there's fuel subsidy, it's not issue of returning fuel subsidy. We are just saying revert back to status quo. until the hardship in the countries reduces. And we are also saying that by this speech, people were expecting that the president would say, oh, all politicians are also going to be making sacrifices like the citizens in the country. And henceforth, politicians will no longer be paid. Ministers have agreed to sacrifice. Politics is going to become a part-time thing. Oh, the level of security deployments that was deployed against protesters will not be deployed against insecurity in the country. There's going to be a red alert on insecurity in the country, like the way the Inspector General of Police declared red alerts against protesters and all that. So the president is doing all it can to ensure that victims of that were killed by security agencies, the perpetrators who did the killing are going to be put on trial. All those officers who killed people are going to be arrested. Announces immediate cabinet reshufflement, you know, announces the sack of the Inspector General of Police and other security agencies who were complicit, you know, begins to roll out immediate.
But he promised that his administration will address the concerns of the protesters. Isn't this enough?
Not one concern was addressed in this speech. Not one. Not one of the concerns was addressed during this speech. You are promising to address concern. Does that even make sense? Do we look like children to the president? Does he think this is an APC campaign period? The citizens of your country are dying. They are crying. There's hunger. People are going almost naked on the street to protest. We saw a man go completely naked in Lagos in the protest. We prevented another man from going naked in Abuja during the protest. Security agencies have used brute force to kill so many people in Kano, in Gombe, in Borno, in Kaduna, here.
But the protest, he says, has been hijacked by hoodlums and people who want to destabilize the country. And some are even saying that it appears that protesters want regime change.
By the president referring that, the president has told the Buhari line of 2020 when he said the NSAS protest was about regime change. Look at all the hardship in the country. So what the president is saying is that the hardship in the country is not real. That the hardship in the country is fake. Is that what the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria is saying? When the president should have said, oh, I'm taking this step, I'm doing this. So the real rogues, the real criminals who have hijacked Nigeria, the president did not address issues on how that would be tackled, on how sacrifices would be made. Look at the amount of...
He made a statement that he is aware that things are difficult in the country.
The president is not aware by his speech. For the president to be referring to protesters and people who are wanting to topple his government, because that was what he was almost saying. It simply means that the president is not aware that there's hunger in the land. The president is being misled by sycophants and praise singers in the villa. The president must wake up. And I'm not surprised. William Ruto also did the same. William Ruto issued two similar statements like this, like the Tinubu statement, before William Ruto now saw that the people were not willing to back down. And William Ruto quickly met the demands of the protesters and reversed the tax bill. President Tinubu needs to bring back a full fuel subsidy. What we have now is political fuel subsidy. The president must take immediate step to reduce the hardship and the hunger in the country. This is the irreducible minimum that the citizens expect from him.
Attorney Deji Adeyanju is one of the lawyers providing legal assistance to the protesters. He spoke with me from the Nigerian capital, Abuja.
A lot is happening in the France Olympics. Join VOA's Mike Hove and Magbel Yabro on the Chasing Gold podcast to stay up to date with all the latest news and events. Don't miss this new episode. Listen now on voaafrica.com.
In Ghana, the Electoral Commission has officially opened nominations for presidential and parliamentary candidates ahead of the December 7th general election. In a press release, the electoral body says candidates can submit their documents from Monday, September 9th through Friday, September 13th. The filing fee for presidential candidate is $6,500, while parliamentary candidate must pay $650. For details, I reach Samuel Tete. He is the deputy chairman in charge of operations at the Electoral Commission.
We are talking of receiving nominations for the 7 December 2024 general elections for both the parliamentary and then presidential candidates. So basically, we were asking the general public, those who qualify to contest as president or maybe a parliamentary candidate, to pick their nomination forms and then go and fill and then submit them at the time that the commission has asked them to do so. That is from the 9th September to the 13th of September. So basically, that is all.
Does this form part of the Electoral Commission preparation to organize the December 7 general election?
Yes, it's part of the electoral process. It's part of our duties, our functions, preparation towards the 7 December general elections.
So regarding the presidential election, those who feel that they qualify to meet the threshold of the Electoral Commission or the law allows them, what are they supposed to do when they download the form? So what is the requirement?
When you download the forms, you fill the forms, and then you submit the forms to the returning officer in case of the presidency. If you want to contest as a president, you submit the your completed nomination forms to the returning officer, who is the chairperson of the Electoral Commission, from the 9th of September to the 13th of September. If it is a parliamentary candidate, you submit your completed nomination forms to the returning officer of the constituency that the candidate is seeking for the elections.
Now, do you think the electoral timetable, specifically with these forms and the submission, is enough for candidates who are willing to participate in the election?
Yes, it's sufficient. We've given them 5 days to submit their completed nomination forms.
Mr. Tete, how is the Electoral Commission engaging these political parties as part of the preparation to organize the elections?
We engage the political parties at IPAC meeting. That is one avenue that we engage the political parties. Almost always we hold meetings with the political parties and then we discuss issues over there.
What is the Electoral Commission's message to the people of Ghana and to the candidates who will be willing to contest in the election?
If you are qualified to stand as a president or a member of parliament, take your nomination forms, download from the website, fill, and then between the 9th and 13th of September 2024, you present your nomination forms.
Samuel Tete is the deputy chairman in charge of operations at the Electoral Commission. He spoke with me from the Ghanaian capital, Accra. In Senegal, the United Nations and its international partners have launched a new phase for the regional stabilization facility in the Lake Chad Basin. It's scheduled to run from September 2024 to August 2028. The new phase, officials say, aims to strengthen security, human rights, and economic opportunities, which will lay the foundation for lasting peace in the region. They also say since its formation in 2019, the facility has been instrumental in resolving, quote, crisis in the region through government-led, community-driven stabilization and regional cooperation in Cameroon, Chad, Niger and Nigeria. Njoya Tikum is the director of UNDP Sub-Regional Hub for West and Central Africa. He tells me that since the beginning of the program in 2019, more than 1 million displaced people have been able to return to their villages or resettle in newly stabilized areas.
We co-created with our partners what we now call the Lake Chad Basin Regional Stabilization Facility. The facility sits with the Lake Chad Basin Commission, under the leadership of Ambassador Noho, and is directly linked to the regional strategy for stabilization and sustainability managed by the Lake Chad Basin Commission. The idea behind the facility in the first place was to ensure that in those communities where, due to insecurity, Boko Haram for one, where members have completely been displaced, some of them pushed into refugee camps or IDP camps around the region, that in those fragile communities, we are able to do three things. We are able to rebuild or rehabilitate basic social services with our governments. We are able to rebuild the economic livelihood situation of these communities, and that we set the ground running for a more trust-based relationship between the states and its citizens when they do return. The idea was that if we were able to do this, then the government of the region would have a new approach to engaging their displaced populations. They would have an alternative to keeping people in refugee camps and in IDP camps.
So, Njoya, in terms of the countries in the Lake Chad Basin, how are they embracing the launch of this new phase of this facility?
You know, because we were very successful with the first phase, almost 2 million people returned to these communities that we stabilized. The second phase has been embraced with open arms, I have to say. We're talking about Chad, Cameroon, Nigeria, Niger. The four countries that were all under the second phase of the facility. In fact, we launched the second phase of the facility with these countries, with the governors of these countries and the representative of ministers, but also with the people of these countries. We had members of civil society groups that also joined and community leaders that also joined the launch. The hope is that the second phase would help expand the successes of the first phase to areas that are yet to be stabilized, and that more people would be able to return to their communities and live in peace and strive with economic activities.
What impact do you anticipate this having on the people mostly affected by, you know, for example, gross insecurity in the area and the climatic shocks?
We still have about 3.6, almost 4 million internally displaced people in the Lake Chad Basin as of 2024, Peter. The first impact is that we need to reduce this number of displaced people. People need to be able to go back to a safe environment and live happily in their own households. So the first impact we hope to see is a decline in, you know, the upsurge we currently have in refugee camps and displacement camps, and an increase in communities voluntarily returning to stabilized regions. The second impact we hope to see is also a decline in insecurity in those regions that have been stabilized, and a surge in the state presence, in state security presence, in state social services presence in these communities. And hopefully the third impact is that there are stronger relationships between the states and the citizens that return to these previously abandoned communities in a way that in itself serves as a kind of a protection scheme for, you know, recruitment into Boko Haram and other violent extremist groups that operate in the region. So if we are able in the next phase, as we did in the first phase, to get up to 2 million people resettled voluntarily into these communities, to get the economic of these communities, the economic situation of these communities, again, vibrant, and to get the state present in these regions that unfortunately do not necessarily have the presence of the state, that in itself would be a huge success for us in a region that is heavily pushed, as you have mentioned yourself, by, you know, climate-related shocks, security and insecurity-related atrocities that are happening across the regions.
I understand this is a game changer because some people have told me in areas characterized by protracted crisis that your efforts have been able to have successes in access to education, healthcare, justice, jobs, and boosting agriculture and farming activities. But my question is, has destabilization restored hope and transformed the lives of people in the area mostly affected by some of these concerns?
Well, Peter, if you're able to wake up in the morning and you're not sleeping in a shelter, you're sleeping in a home, a place you call home, you're able to feed your children and send them to a school in your neighborhood, you have the safety and the security that is guaranteed by your state. I don't know what else we can say other than that's a hopeful situation.
Njoya Tikum is the director of UNDP Sub-Regional Hub for West and Central Africa. He spoke with me from the Senegalese capital, Dakar. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, a leading human rights activist and founder and executive director of Aid Province says a ceasefire agreement between DRC and Rwanda that begins today is a welcome development for the victims of the conflict. Percy Mubalama says the international community, including the United Nations, the United States and the European Union, must get involved in finding peace in the troubled eastern part of the DRC. Her remarks come after the Angolan government announced a ceasefire agreement following a meeting between the foreign ministers of the DRC and Rwanda in the capital, Luanda. Angola, which is the mediator in efforts to find a solution to the conflict in Congo, said the ceasefire agreement was to come into effect at midnight today. For more, I reach Percy Mubalama.
We are really happy that there is the ceasefire, since people have been suffering for so long, you know, with so many internal displaced people, mostly women and children living in different IDPs camp here. So it's really good to hear that there is a ceasefire. For me, as it's a way to protect women and children who have been affected by the conflict between M23 and FRDC and Wazalendo.
What does this ceasefire mean to the people, especially in Goma?
It means a lot, you know, because when there is no fire, that means maybe people have their expectation to go back to their villages, you know, and do their daily work, you know, taking care of their family and so on. But in the same time, people are not like sure that the ceasefire will take a long time. You know, since even today, they were fighting between M23 and other armed belts in Ruchuru, especially in Kiwanja, not far from Kiwanja. You know, they have took control of some villages over there. And for us, even if they know that they have agreed on the ceasefire, but in the same time they are taking control over different villages, so we are not sure that the ceasefire will be like a sustainable solution for this conflict in the region, and also if the ceasefire will make sure that the tension between Rwanda and Congo would be reduced.
What do you think is the best way forward? Or what do people in Goma and other surrounding areas say is the best way forward to end this conflict?
For me, it's really important if we want to end the conflict and reduce the tension between the two countries. It's really important to be honest and say, you know, we are supporting them, but this is what we want from you, the DRC. But when we are not frank, you know, it's difficult, you know, to try to get more a sustainable solution in this kind of conflict. So for me, there are so many things to do, not only from the Rwandese government, but also from the Congolese government, you know, the will to make sure that this conflict can end and that civilians can be protected.
Do you think the peace or the mediation efforts of the government of Angola trying to ease the political tension between Kinshasa and Kigali would help solve the problem once and for all, since now at least we have a ceasefire agreement?
I think for so many months, the Congolese government has been refusing that they will not negotiate, and also the Rwandese government has refused, you know, to sit on the same table with the Congolese government. But I think it's a good sign that the Angola president has been able, you know, to make sure that they can sit together and try to find a way, you know, forward, you know, to make sure that this conflict can end or the tension can be reduced. So for me, it's really important. They play an important role, and that is what us as civil society organization, we are promoting, you know, to make sure that the international community can get involved, not only the Angola government, but also the European Union, the United Nations, to make sure that the conflict can end.
Percy Mubalama is a leading human rights activist and founder and executive director of AIDS Profen. She spoke with me from Goma, DRC. In Malawi, a human rights activist and leader of the political pressure group Malawi First, the People First, is calling for a nationwide protest to demand solutions to the economic conditions the country is facing. Born Kalindu says on August 8, Malawians will demand the reversal of a new tax measure and the resolution of a voter registration controversy. Born Kalindu tells me that the demonstrations will proceed, contending that the government has not announced plans to solve the economic difficulties facing citizens.
We had a presser where we deposited a number of issues, pertinent issues affecting the people of Malawi. And one of it is about the tax stamps that has been introduced by the Malawi government through MRA. This is what we call punitive taxes. At the same time, they are punishing people, looking at the ailing economy. The kwacha has fallen, and that they should be paying, you know, these stamps on top of duty and the Malawi Bureau of Standards without consultation. The idea is good because they want to punish those that are not using the borders, those that do not, you know, own a duty. But at the same time, we feel like they are punishing a wrong person. Why is someone punishing someone, an innocent person, who is a good citizen, instead of just rewarding him to say, since you have used the borders, here is your reward, here is a stamp, and they are making this person to pay again on top of duty. We feel that's very, very bad and unfair in a democratic dispensation of governance. At the same time, we are also looking at the issues of registration. The NRB, National Registration Bureau, is playing, you know, games. They are only concentrating registering people in the center. They are suffocating the other areas like the northern region, the southern region, the eastern region. People are not able to access these identity cards. And you remember very well that even in the Malawi Electoral Commission, requirement is that for one to register, for one to vote, it requires an ID. So we are telling them to say, if they are not making their house in order, if people are not registering, why are they not allowing people to use passports, to use the birth certificates, letters from the traditional chiefs, instead of using the ID only?
Why is your group issuing an ultimatum to the government or the Malawi Revenue Authority? You know, the government needs the revenue to provide service delivery and to help resolve some of the economic challenges that Malawians face. Isn't this a good thing, to raise more money to take care of Malawians?
Amidst corruption, that's not a very good move. At the same time, they are doing this without consultation. You know, Malawi's economy has fallen, and people are suffering a lot, especially these small-scale business people. So why are they punishing them? We feel that they have done this at a wrong time, when the money, the kwacha, is not doing well on the market.
What do you say to your critics who are of the view that this is yet another attempt to create confusion, destabilize the government, and make the government unpopular?
What we are doing this for Malawians. There is nothing that Bonny Kalindo is benefiting. or that Malawi First is benefiting. All what we are doing is to fight for the underprivileged, those that are living below the poverty line. At the end of the day, it will be them, you know, living happily, not born Kalindo. So it's not about destabilizing the country. We are doing it for the people of Malawi, not for myself.
After the protest, what happens next?
If the government does not take heed of our concerns, then we will continue protesting because we want them to hear, we want them to understand, we want them to be on the same page with us because there's a lot of suffering in Malawi. Everything has gone haywire, everything has gone to the dogs.
Born Kalindo is a human rights activist and leader of the political pressure group Malawi First, the People First. He spoke with me from the Malawian capital, Lilongwe. Human rights defenders, including a United Nations Special Rapporteur, are condemning the arrest and alleged torture of Zimbabweans who called for the release of opposition activists arrested in late June. Colombo's Mavunga reports for VOA from Harare, where President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government says it's not going to take chances that protests could disrupt a Southern African Development Community summit later this month.
Four human rights activists, Vusimuzi Moyo, Namatai, Kwekwe, Zab, Samuel Gwenzi, and Robson Chere, arrived at so-called Rotorua Magistrate Court in Harare Friday with members of the police. They were in obvious pain as they walked into court hours after Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights released photos showing bruises, welts, and blood on various parts of their bodies. Douglas Coulthard is with the organization which is representing the fall.
The horrific human rights abuses that we have seen over the past few days are not just crimes under Zimbabwean law, which they are, but they're also crimes under international law. And I think it is very important for the Zimbabwean authorities who are involved, whether giving orders for these atrocities to be perpetrated or those who are carrying them out, to understand that while they may think that there will always be impunity, there will come a time where there will be accountability for these abuses.
On Friday, the four were charged with the disorderly conduct for protesting the detention of 79 opposition supporters who have been in custody since June on charges of holding an illegal gathering. Speaking to VOA Friday, Mary Lola, a UN special rapporteur on human rights defenders, said she was disappointed by the arrest and apparent torture of the four activists by Zimbabwean authorities.
From what I understand, they were taken off a flight, held incommunicado for a number of hours before being charged with disorderly conduct as a result of their participation in a peaceful protest calling for the release of opposition political figures. I unreservedly call for the immediate release of all four detained activists and an investigation into the allegations of mistreatment to which they were allegedly subjected while in custody.
Let's say Home Affairs Minister Kazembeka Zembe, flanked by Police Commissioner General Godwin Matanga and several high-ranking police officers, said the government is aware of attempts to disrupt the smooth flow of the SADC summit that Zimbabwe is hosting in about 2 weeks. He said the government would not allow illegal gatherings ahead of the summit.
It is clear that the organizers seek to provoke a heavy-handed response from government, which they assume would attract global attention and put Zimbabwe on the spotlight. We have been through such episodes before and are prepared for the same. The attempts at rendering the country ungovernable would be met with befitting responses. Let those seeking to create an atmosphere of despondency among peace-loving citizens be warned that such antics will not be tolerated. Fellow Zimbabweans, we assure you all to deal with those bent on lawlessness.
On Friday, the four arrested activists submitted an application for bail and applied for discharge, saying they'd been tortured after they were taken off their flight earlier this week. Columbus Mavungam, VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
This is The Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs, and music from African Collection. But first, now let's take a closer look at Africa, the problems, the prospects in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. Here we go again. Last week, the Secretary General of the ANC in South Africa gleefully announced that decision had been taken to expel former President Jacob Zuma from the party. He had added that Mr. Zuma had brought disrepute to the party and that during the last session election, he had campaigned vigorously against the party and may have influenced the loss of support of the party in his province. The first thing that came to mind as I listened to the announcement was whether the ANC leadership is about to make another misstep in its relationship opponents within the party. You may recall that years ago, the head of the youth wing of the ANC, Junius Malema, was called to order by the party because he had insulted a neighboring head of state. The military, the political and economic wing of the opposition party, particularly the Democratic Alliance, lost no time in mobilizing the South African press to ensure that Mr. Malema should not only be disciplined, but to be expelled from the ANC. In the eyes of the economic elite in South Africa, they saw Malema as a serious threat, mainly because he has set his eyes on what they call radical land reform and nationalization of the mines. Malema saw that move is the only way by which the use of the ANC and South Africa can enhance their economic status. There was some resistance in the party to taking on Julius Malema, particularly the then prime president, who was Jacob Zuma, was mindful of the role that was played by Julius Malema in his struggle with the previous president Mbeki. But the press campaign was too virulent, not only in South Africa, but in other Western countries. So they caved in and they expelled Mr. Malema, not only from his post as head of the Youth League, but as a member of the ANC. Many South Africans thought at the time that that was a mistake, that there should have been only discipline and not to take such a drastic step. But surprisingly, there were glorious editorials praising the courage of President of the ANC, Jacob Zuma. They failed in their attempt, I mean the media, to send Malema to the wilderness. He recovered from the press campaign, formed his own party, the Economic Freedom Party, and today is a bullet in the throat of the ANC. He has remained a strong political figure in South Africa, and despite his lack of funds to have major influence throughout the country, he has maintained a steady support. In the last election, his party attained 10%. So after all that experience, one would have thought that the ANC leadership would be more cautious in dealing with Mr. Jacob Zuma. Jacob Zuma had been a member of the ANC for 65 years. He was one of those who struggled inside South Africa against the apartheid regime. He was well known to the regime, and they knew he struggled with them. So he was the one most hated by the apartheid regime. He was put in prison, in the same prison as the great president of South Africa. I thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs. And it's Sunday on Nightline Africa. This is the time we get to relax and reflect, a flashback with music from the continent.
No time for story, just check it for me. I'm loving this, your body. You make me feel alive. So glad you're in my life. One look into your eyes, and I start to fantasize. So if you wanna party with a jagaban, don't search, baby, I'm your man. I'm gonna make you feel good, don't you understand?
Yeah.
I'm the man, girl, I'm the man. If you wanna party with a jagaban, don't search, baby, I'm your man. I'm gonna make you feel good, don't you understand? I'm the man, girl, I'm the man. I'm the man. I'm the man, I'm the man, the man.
Yeah.
I'm the man.
I'm the man, I'm the man. TZ, man, I'm back on the popular demand. They're waving their hands and I'm smiling complain. They're shaking the stand, ta-ta-ta, shake their nash. Wait, take it to a classic. Cause inshallah, we're gonna be taking mad trip. It's a long time coming between you and me. I ride in glee, making you my queen. They told me loving won't be that easy, but you can't see me. I'm the man, TZ. So now we got vibe, got tika. Hakuna ga picha.
Mama, na kuita kuita. Tucheze na mitu leo. If you wanna party with a jagaban, don't search, baby, I'm your man. I'm gonna make you feel good, don't you understand?
Yeah.
I'm the man, girl, I'm the man. If you wanna party with a jagaban, don't search, baby, I'm your man. I'm gonna make you feel good, don't you understand? I'm the man, girl, I'm the man. Don't search, baby, I'm your man. I'm gonna make you feel good, don't you understand?
Yeah.
I'm the man, girl, I'm the man. If you wanna party with a jagaban,
jagaban,
don't search, baby, I'm your man. I'm gonna make you feel good, don't you understand? I'm the man, girl, I'm the man. I'm the man, I'm the man.
I'm the man. Yeah.
I'm the man.
I'm the man.
Here's another one.
That is it.
Na vibe lisha panda kila kitu kiko juu kama antena. Ni show show so so vitu viko momo watoto kama limeshusha container. Shosti hizo shoti zita kukosti mana muda tutaziongeza tena. Jimmy Jeff utauzi mana wapuzi wataanza kuleta wapuzi tena. Na hii time ya kubenga hii. Na kumbe hizi kisi zinavuta nani. Seshe mwite pushra tulete nani. Na kama mchongo pesa usiwaze maji. Tulipofika tujali. Na kama ukitaka kutujua tunakuonyesha. Tunaumia ila tujali. Na kama unakiliona tunatuonyesha.
Koko, koko.
tunakomesha. Oh, 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 tunakomesha. Oh, 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 tunakomesha. Oh, 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 tunakomesha. Kupanda juu ya meza ni sawa, ila hakikisho najiweza. Ukileta uchawa ni sawa, tumeshalipia utachomeza. Nicheche, warembo walete, tulendete, mida flani tutete. Shape unayo wa uteseke, Mr. Tizi, T-Touch ni maseke. Nishosho, slow, slow, vitu viko mbomo, watoto kama lime shosho container. Tulipofika tujahina kama ukitaka kutujua tunakuonyesha. Tunaumia ila tujahina kama ona kidona tunatodesha. Koko, koko, tunakomesha.
Steady blessing my life, like I said, I chew with my heart. You arrive like an air marshal, and I know that you know that we control it. Come live in the moment and come wind it. You finally mine, and I'm just smiling. So listen to me as I give you my peace and love. We stuck to the crease and look to above for support and guidance, and I'm lovely. Si komagi magi na konyagi. Tipsy, tipsy on this beat, catch a vibe in between underneath you. Make a mess when I clean up, I'm neatly. Leave me in this pot of love, raining on me, make me drown in your flood. Yeah, give me thanks to above, anatomy grace, and I'm not talking scrubs. Yeah, me ni binadamu mama, tend to my heart, no drama. Get my blessings from father, I mean your mama and papa and whole family. Hey, give me life like it's no other, I mean mama and papa and whole family.
Navuka mipaka tu, sao shida hapa ni furaha tu.
I do the impossible. Make a one, she's untouchable.
Tulewe maisha na tucheze dada. Sitaki mapicha na tule maraha. Oya cheza, kibumbaki. Come ride with me, vibe in my Bugatti. Oya cheza, my lovey-dovey. Come ataki, you know, come wine on me. Oya cheza, kibumbaki. Come ride with me, vibe in my Bugatti. Oya cheza, my lovey-dovey. Come ataki, you know, come wine on me.
Kibumbaki, kibumbaki. Kibumbaki, kibumbaki. Kibumbaki, kibumbaki. Kibumbaki, kibumbaki. Kibumbaki, kibumbaki. Kibumbaki, kibumbaki. Kibumbaki, kibumbaki.
Navuka mipaka tu, sao shida hapa ni furaha tu. I do the impossible, make a wine, she's untouchable.
Tulewe maisha na tucheze dada. Sitaki mapicha na tule maraha. Oya cheza.
Stay low-key, oh, you outside?
Come and vibe with me, lot of stresses in my message, need your company. See, I lost it for a second, but I am TZ. I'm the man, like, don't forget about it. Misstep slide, only in my head about it. Got some loving for you, baby, no, I never doubt it. Need to get back on my chill, not upset about it. That's how my boy, don't call boy, die. See, my comfort is the blessing of my shoulders. Get that feeling when I hold her. See, you rockin' with TZ, but I told ya. See, it ain't no surprise with me, okay.
Okay.
I'm on my grind, baby, don't play.
Don't play, cause that ain't
everything I do. See, I'm rocking for you when I'm rocking my crew all day. And I'm not comfortable, cause when I'm in the mood, ain't nobody can screw my J. Getting high altitude, and the later the greater my time punctual can be. Keep the legacy, we striving for great, know the pedigree. And get hot, but my flow's on freeze. You can name one, and I can say TZ. Yeah,
Navuka mipaka tu, sao shida hapa ni furaha tu. I do the impossible, make a wine, she's untouchable.
Tulewe maisha na tucheze dada. Sitaki mapicha na tule maraha. Oya cheza, kibumbaki. Come ride with me, vibe in my Bugatti. Oya cheza, my lovey-dovey. Come ataki, you know, come wine on me. Oya cheza, kibumbaki. Come ride with me, vibe in my Bugatti. Oya cheza, my lovey-dovey. Come ataki, you know, come wine on me.
Navuka mipaka tu, sao shida hapa ni furaha tu. I do the impossible, make a wine, she's untouchable.
Tulewe maisha na tucheze dada. Sitaki mapicha na tule maraha. Oya cheza,
kibumbaki kibumbaki. Kibumbaki kibumbaki.
Cheza,
kibumbaki kibumbaki. Kibumbaki kibumbaki. Kibumbaki kibumbaki. Kibumbaki kibumbaki.
Cheza.
Smart Junior One.
Hell of a year, but don't cry about it. I mean, my fella gone too soon, but I know he vibing. Hey, I'm on my knees, keep on praying about it. I got my hustle and my grind stuck on autopilot. I say,
one time for TZ25301. CTDM slide, I stay so fly, come and catch this vibe. I'm on my grind, I ain't got no one. One time for TZ25301, my CTDM slide, I stay so fly, come and catch this vibe. I'm on my grind,
I ain't got no time for ya. Only vibes for ya.
And that was our Sunday music spot. Hope you enjoyed the music from Nightland Africa here at the English to Africa service of the Voice of America in Washington.
You can find me by the ocean chilling for hours. I know I'm not the type to wait. I'll go alone.
Nightline Africa comes to you from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, we're on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, including producer Nicole Peters and engineer Justin Thwaite, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, a child who knows how to clean or wash his hands gets to dine with their elders. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington. Good evening, Africa.
I'm heartbroken in the heart that I know. I got a lot of pain, but it's something I control. I got my trust in God, so don't ever call me bro. You trying to finesse me, I'ma treat you like a one time for TZ. Hey, why they scream my name? Cause I run my CT. I ain't worried about the fame, cause I'm live, I'm litty. Catch me smiling on the stage, your girl call me pretty. Wait, huh?
You can find me by the ocean chilling for hours. I know I'm not the type to wait, I'll go alone.
This is